grateful for the opportunity to be here. It's an unusual privilege for me to be here with you all, and I hope that the Lord will be honored by what has been and will be done through the remainder of the service this morning. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I'd ask you to turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. Sincerely hoping that a text will take me and us in the discussion of it this morning. As we look to God's Word, Matthew chapter 11, we'll read verse 25 to begin with through verse 30. Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemeth good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. No man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Amen. That much I know of the message is inspired. Trust that you'll pray as we look to this morning. I sincerely want to talk to you this morning about something that I think that is very needful to me, and I believe to us all, especially in our day and age, and considering the circumstances of life that we all face day after day. I want to talk to you this morning about balance. About being balanced. And it may not be particularly interesting to you unless you are somewhat like me, being told that you are and feeling like you are unbalanced. But as we've read this text to you this morning, it's some very familiar scripture, but it's fantastic scripture to read and to consider that these are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ himself. And it begins to take our notice and our attention this morning at that time. Now that's a specific time, a special time. In the midst of a congregation and conversation that the Lord had been having with a group of people, perhaps not too much welcoming of the context of what he was saying at the time, where I notice that in verse 20 it says, then began he, that is speaking of the Lord, to upbraid the cities where most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. This is the Lord Jesus Christ turning the conversation, hopefully for us, in a very positive way, as he had been rebuking, upbraiding, being very plain and to the point to cities, it says, and to people. Cities are made up of people, right? And as he was rebuking them and upbraiding them, because he had done many, many mighty works, and I'm sure that included the healing of the sick, giving sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, raising of the dead, walking on water, doing the things that he did, feeding multitudes with near nothing of supplies. But as he had done these things in their presence, and obviously before them, as scripture would tell us, not behind a corner or behind in covers, he'd done these things very openly and very publicly. And yet, in spite of all that he had done and all that had been seen and all that had been manifested by his presence with them, these cities, these people, had not repented. they hadn't been changed by what they saw. So I guess that does something for us when we try to think about the cliche that seeing is believing. Well, evidently it wasn't for these people. They had saw, and yet they did not believe. I want to talk to you this morning about these passages of Scripture, and I do pray sincerely that the Lord would open these up. Because there's so very much said in Scripture, encouraging us, moving us, motivating us, insisting to us that we believe. That we believe. And I want you to know that that's beyond assumption. It's beyond just assuming that that's the way things are. It's beyond just participating in a service on Sunday morning by nodding your head and say, well, that's in the Bible. I agree that it's right, and let's go home. Believing it means to embrace it, to make it yours, to use it, and to manifest it, to exemplify that tomorrow, this afternoon, in the days forward. You've been benefited. If you've learned something, then you can use it to your benefit and to those that are around you. I want us to learn something this morning. I want to learn something. The Lord is saying this to us at that time, again, a very specific and special time, that Jesus is about to teach, and he's the master of this. I marvel at this. I want to remind you of this morning, though you may not need it, but I'm going to do it anyway. Jesus is the master teacher. He never minced words. Amen. And every lesson that Jesus taught always hit the mark. He never taught a lesson for those that weren't there. I know maybe sometimes we're prone to thinking something maybe strike us particularly powerful at the time, and we would be able to think and might be prone to think, boy, I wish so-and-so was here. They really need to hear that. I'm looking around here this morning, and I wish so-and-so was here. I'd really like to tell them this. Well, you're the ones that are here. This message is for you, is for us this morning. And then you can have the privilege of telling them that you wished was here. Okay? The Lord never minced words. Amen. Spot on every time. This is beyond me because I'm not this way. Because I'm going to do it this afternoon. I'm doing it right now already. And I hadn't even already got started. But the Lord never said anything and then thought later, you know, I wished I hadn't said that. You know, I could have said that better if it would have been this way. Oh, I probably shouldn't have mentioned that. Oh, I forgot to. You know, I was going to say that. He never did that. Never did that. I can't get my head wrapped around that because I'm not that way. I'm always wishing that I'd said something else. I'm always being told that I shouldn't have said that. But whatever the case is, the Lord was not that away. And that's fascinating when you start reading the Bible, and excuse me if you have to, but just let the Bible say what it says. And try to grasp what the Lord is actually saying. And, well, I wonder if that's for me. Were you the one reading it? Well, yes, probably for you then. Okay. Just like you're stuck hearing this morning. Oh, sorry. But the Lord never missed words. He never misspoke. He always hit the target. And what he said was what needed to be said, when it needed to be said, and exactly to who it needed to be said to. But notice this. He says, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. I wonder who he's talking to. Got a clue? Now, I know y'all are far more attentive in Russellville than they are up at Little Flock, and you're far more capable of answering. Y'all do know that preaching is a dialogue, not a monologue. I'm not up here talking to hear my head rattle, because it's rattling all the time. I'm trying to get over that. Y'all got any clue who he's talking to? Now, you can't say, well, I can't believe that he actually done this. They would have think he's crazy. Well, they did. At this specific time, when the Lord has just been rebuking these people for seeing what they had seen and the obvious in front of them, and it hadn't changed them a bit. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You mean he just starts talking out loud to God? Well, yes, he did. You can't believe that, preacher? Well, yes, I can. Because it's wrote right here for us to see it. It's recorded for us. The Lord lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, I thank thee, Father, O Lord of heaven and earth, for thou hast hid these things, you have hid from the wise and from the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemeth good in thy sight. It seemed good to God to do it this way. What was being done was the way God wanted it to be done. And the Lord is acknowledging that before all of the people, that he's merely doing what the Father would have him do. And he thanks God that it's that way, because God has kept these things that he's about to say and reveal hidden from the wise and the prudent, that is, of this world's wisdom and prudence. May I say it this way? You've seen fit to keep this back from the know-it-alls and the ones that are convinced that they do know. And you've seen fit to open yourself up, God, Lord of heaven and earth, and give illustration and manifestation of your presence among this people to babes, to children, or at least to people that are receiving it as children. And it does literally imply little ones, but it's something for the children. The elite will miss it. The self-assured, they'll ignore it. And the self-confident will refuse it. I don't want to get sidetracked too much by too many stories this morning, but I feel the need for illustration. But back, this is hard for me to believe, several decades ago, when we still lived down here, and I worked at a place not too far from here, I worked with one particular young man that I was merely trying to invite to come to church here. I mean, I know that's a novel thought, but I kind of enjoyed coming here, and I wanted other people to come too. Y'all know anything about such stuff. And I was trying to invite him to come, and he thanked me, but here was his reply. He said, well, I appreciate it. I know you're sincere. I appreciate your inviting me. He said, but I'm going to have to turn you down. He said, just be plain about it. He said, when I was a little kid, my mom and dad, for some reason or other, thought they could tell me what to do. He said, then they up and sent me off to school where I had teachers. For some reason, they thought they could tell me what to do. He said, and I left home and I left school. I got married. And he said, now I got a woman that's my wife, or for some reason or another, she thinks she can tell me what to do. Now, this is his words. He said, and I work for people every day that for some reason or another, they think they can tell me what to do. And he said, preacher, you fill in the blanks. If I'm going to come and be a part of a church of people that think they can tell me what to do. Now, y'all can't, some of y'all are kind of looking at this, and y'all like, you can't believe somebody would say something like that. I mean, especially to me, I'm such a nice guy. And I was just asking him to come to church. But he said that. But you know what? I think he was just honest enough to let inside words come out. Because that's the way lots of us think. This message is, boy, let's just put this out here to start with. I'm told by public speakers that you're not supposed to do this. So if y'all all get up and let, my name's already on the sign out here. That's why these half of these benches are empty this morning anyway. So if the rest of you get up and walk out, I'll understand why. But I'm not supposed to do this, but I'm going to do this. This message that you're about to hear is going to be extremely uncomfortable. Extremely uncomfortable for the people that reply, "Oh, I got this." The independent thinkers. "I don't need no help." Know anything about that? Just leave me the... There's another one of those blanks, excuse me. Alone. Mind your own business. The do-it-yourselfers. The loners. Nobody tells me what to doers. And the, but you see, you just don't understanders. You know any of them? Yeah. Even my little granddaughter's nodding her head. She knows somebody like that. I know somebody like that. I look in the mirror at them every day. Well, this message is extraordinarily uncomfortable to that type of person. But it's very, very beneficial if you can get past yourself to hear it. Notice in verses 26 and 27, again, who thought it was good to do things this way? "Even so, Father, for it seemeth good in thy sight." Notice this. That's God the Father that made the choice for it to be this way. Watch this. Jesus says, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father." Well, I'm not a linguist or educated in a lot of different languages, and I'm pitiful poor in English as much as it is, but may I go on record to say that I believe I got sense enough to understand that when he says, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father," that doesn't leave anything out. My Father gave me all things. So whatever things is under consideration, he says, "I've got it all." And as one old brother years ago said, if the Lord said all power is given to me under in heaven and in earth, if he's got all power, where are you going to get any? He says, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father." Whatever these things are, y'all are with me. Nod your heads. You can hear yours rattle. Whatever these things that are about to be spoken about to babes, not the elite thinkers and all of these other folks that are resistant to it, but to those that are willing to hear, considering at least what's being said, Jesus says that all of this was delivered to me of my Father. Who gave it to him? His Father. Who is that? God. He says, so I've got it all. So if you want any of it, where are you going to get it? You're going to get it from him. Because he's got it. And his Father gave it to him. So you're going to have to know Jesus. Boy, I know I'm saying strange things to people that have been conditioned not to think this way. But hang on. You're going to have to know Jesus to get any of this stuff that he's talking about. And he says, nobody knows the Son but the Father. The only one that knows the Son is God, the Father. And no man knows the Father save the Son. Boy, we're in a mess, aren't we? Man, you talk about being in an elite position, a restricted, limited position. Nobody knows him but God his Father, and nobody knows his Father but him. Oh, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Now, friends, you can't know Jesus without the Father's knowledge. And you can't know God the Father without Jesus' knowledge. And the only way that you're going to get that is if he reveals the Father to you. Even so, Father, for it seemeth good in thy sight. Does that kind of paint you thinking a little? That kind of puts things on a more restrictive basis, doesn't it? And I don't like being restrictive. I mean, that's almost like telling me what to do. That's getting real close to telling me how to think. Well, sorry about that. Not really. But that's the way God designed it. You're going to figure, you've got God figured out? Huh? I didn't see no heads nod. At least you know that much. You think you've got the scriptures and God and church and religion and life in general figured out? Or do you really understand and come to the place to where you know that you're just a little overloaded with the reality of it all? Huh? Well, he's talking to you then. And this is the way that the Lord designed it to be. And whomsoever the Son will reveal him then. Well, okay. Jesus alone then is the source and the supply of this knowledge. It's exclusive, but it comes with instructions and requirements. In fact, actions upon the ones that get it. Now, that's our introduction this morning, and our sermon will now begin for the next 2 hours. I'm not short like Brother Gary. And I talk longer than he does, too. Sorry. Figure it out. You ready for what the Lord's fixing to reveal? You say, well, I don't know if I am or not. You've kind of put this up on a plane where I don't even know if I want to try. Because it's so restrictive. I thought knowing God was a whole lot easier than this. I just assumed that it would. Well, there's our problem. We assume. Jesus is telling us how it is. We need to get over our assumptions. The reality of that is that that's tough. When we've been trained to think a certain way. And you may even be thinking that, oh, well, certainly you're not talking about us. Yeah, I am talking about us. There ain't one of you in the house that hasn't been trained to think a particular way. One way or the other, the fella I work with, Friday, made a very profound statement. He looked at me, he told me, he said, "Do you know, Carl?" He said, it's really, really, really hard. We was talking about some of the problems of life and the way things. He said, "Well, you know, it's hard for an individual to get over the way that their moms and their dads raised them." It is. It's really tough to get over that. So, well, I don't particularly want to get over them. Well, maybe you don't, and hopefully they were right. Yeah. But this may bust your bubble just to begin with. But they could have been wrong. Because the only one that is absolutely right all the time is God. And that's what we're supposed to be here after, is to learn from God, of God, about God, to honor God in the way that we live and the way that we do. And I don't know about you, and this may shock you for a preacher to tell you this. I started to say for a pastor, but I'm not pastor here, and I know that. But I'm just telling you this. This may shock you. But I got to tell you that even from a preacher's perspective, that if I be totally honest with it, it seems that the further I go, the less I know. And I thought Brother Harold taught me a long time ago, and he did teach me a lot. I tried to learn from other preachers a long time ago and all through these years. Can you all believe this? I know by looking at me, you're putting this on. I've been at this for nearly 40 years myself. That's not a drop in the bucket to eternity. But you would think somebody in 40 years would learn something, wouldn't you? And you're giving me the benefit of the doubt. I appreciate that. But I'm telling you, it seems like the further I go, the less I know. And I thought I'd have this preaching thing figured out. I ain't got a clue. I'm still trying to learn. But there's things that, if I be honest with you, I have to tell you straight up that a lot of the things that I thought I knew, I don't know. And a lot of the things I've tried through the years, they don't work. And a lot of the things that I want to still try to insist to other people about that will work, make a difference, I know why I'm telling them. They won't. Well, now, preacher, you're encouraging the heck out of us to listen to the rest of what you've got to say. I don't want you to listen to what I got to say. I want you to hear what Jesus says. Really. Maybe, dare I say, maybe, for the first time, you will listen to what he says instead of what you think. Maybe for the first time, you'll get past the way you've been told to actually hear what Jesus says. It's fascinating. To people, listen, have you forgot the setting? To people that he had just been upbraiding because of his obvious works among them that had not changed them a bit. He publicly makes this bold statement, and what would appear to them as a one-sided conversation with somebody they cannot see. Who is he talking to? He's talking to God. Do y'all know? Get on board now. Do y'all know that God's here right now? Y'all know that? Did you know he was here before you got here? You didn't bring him. Now, if the devil's here, it might be because some of you brought him. I don't know. I tried to leave him in the car. But God was here before we got here. He's here. And let me tell you what I tell the folks up at home on. He keeps really, really good records. There's nothing you think, there's nothing you say, there's nothing you do that he don't know your motivation, that he don't know why you're about to say it before it ever comes through your head to think it. Before you even think it, he already knows why you're thinking it, and he knows what you're going to say before it comes out of your mouth. And he keeps really, really good records. That's kind of scary, isn't it? It kind of leaves me a little unstable and shaky. It kind of leaves me with the reality that I need a little more balance in life. Have y'all ever noticed that it's uncomfortable trying to straddle the fence? Huh? Especially if it's electric fence. But I've had that experience. It's a bad position to be in. One side or the other. The Lord himself told us that you cannot serve two masters. Oh, but I can. No, you cannot. You cannot serve two masters. You're going to love one and hate the other. You're going to cling to one and despise the other. One way or the other, you can't serve two things at once. He says you can't serve God and mammon at the same time. Now, mammon, we say, well, we won't think about money. Well, let me blow you away by this. You know they didn't have greenback dollars in the day that he taught that lesson. They didn't have nickels and quarters. And they didn't have U.S. currency. Mammon is just wealth or whatever you place value upon. Be that knowledge, be that substance, be that possession, be that houses, lands, people, things, whatever it is. Be that self. You can't be self-serving and serve God at the same time. Get off the fence. Make the decision. He says, now, having upbraided them because they did not acknowledge the obvious, they're still blown away by this conversation that he's having with somebody they can't see, but he knows that he's there, and this is exactly the way that he wants. So now he looks to the crowd again and says, come unto me. Are there any of you like this in the crowd? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Who's he talking to? Who's he talking to? He's talking to the same people he was just talking to before. But out of these people that he's upbraided for their lack of belief, to those same people, he now says, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. So come. Now, this coming is not, I got to say this, I'm old Baptist enough, I tell you what I'm not saying. I don't know why, but well, it's tradition. This coming is not the coming. Well, this is another subject. I'd like to preach to you this afternoon about this. Y'all are going to leave at lunch. I know. Okay. This come unto me is not the come, the shall come of John 6:37a, the first part of that text. All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. This is not that come. But that's the coming to him in new life. This coming is the second part of that verse. You didn't know they were two different things. Oh, but yes, they are. That's why I'd like to talk to you about it. But see me at lunch. And he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me in regeneration, in the new birth, in the giving of life. They shall come to me. Ah! And he, individual, and he that cometh comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Whew, what a promise. I'm going to have all I come for. Ain't no doubt about that. But listen, friend, if you be one of those for which he came, new life is yours by his complete and total atoning, redeeming power and accomplishment at Calvary. It is finished. You shall come to him without the loss of one. Oh, but friend, if you be of that number and hear this call and you come, rest assured of this. He says, I will in no wise. No reason. No way. Ain't gonna happen. You come to me, he says, I will not cast you out. I will receive you. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. These are not dead people. I asked our folks at home, particularly in a study here a while back. Yes, we have those. But we was having a study up there on a Wednesday night, and I asked some of the kids particularly. I went, you won't know. I'm just confessing to you. When I want to know if I'm being paid attention to or anybody's getting it or not, I don't ask the old ones because they ain't going to answer me. I ask the kids. I ask the young ones. I just offended every older person in the house. Sorry. Maybe you need to get over it. I asked the kids, I said, young'uns, if we go down here to the cemetery down the road down here, we got one down there. I said, if you went down there and one of those people that was laying down there, y'all know they're dead, y'all understand that. I said, if you laid 1,000 pounds of dirt on top of them, do you reckon they'd feel it? Well, no. I said, do you reckon they'd feel a feather? Well, no. Why? Because they're dead. They don't feel anything. The dead are not pressured. That's my point. The dead are not invited. The dead are not being talked to. Come unto me, all ye that labor. Labor. Oh, these people are doing something. They're working. They're laboring. And are heavy laden. Not only are they working and laboring, they're hard at it. They're committed to it. They're being pressed down under the weight of it. They're struggling. They in this past few weeks have been sweating profusely because it's been hot, right? Y'all been out in it? Yeah, some of you have been avoiding it, staying in where it's cool. I understand. But sometimes you have to get out there in it. It don't take much labor to get it my top of my head start leaking. But these people here, he says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. These are not dead folks. These are living folks. And they're active and they're involved. They're doing things. They're struggling and they're trying to do what's required of them. And it's just weighing them down. I want you to get it. I want you to understand it. This is not an invitation either, and it's not strictly a command. It's been revealed to babes, right? The hard thinkers in this ain't gonna get it, but the children will. Come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden. Are you tired? Are you weary? Can y'all believe I'm talking like this? Are you tired? Are you weary? Are you struggling on the day-to-day responsibilities and pressures of life as the weight of your world and of your jobs and your homes and your marriages and your finances and things like that in this world have just weighted you down, about to press you under, and you're stumbling under the weight of it? The picture is somebody that has a weight upon their shoulders and they're you ever notice when you get tired, you get a little unsure on your feet and you start kind of staggering with it, and you just keep on, you're too proud to put it down and you just will not yield. You won't admit that you can't handle, I got this, and you just keep on going, I don't need no help, You know, and they mess with, well, if you've done this, but don't tell me what to do. I know how to do it. Till eventually to the fact that you have just been brought to your knees. Well, it's kind of obvious. It's kind of obvious. I don't think I'm the only one in this room right now that has this problem. Because if any one of us is honest with our own lives and on that, and we start, what? You know people. Let's say it this way. Do you know people that you see? Huh? That you know that are struggling under the obvious? Do you know anybody that you know that's headed in a wrong direction? Do you know anybody that it's obvious they've slipped. They're just not where they once were. They fell by the wayside. Their interest has waned a little bit. The responsibilities and pressures are pressing them down hard, and they're just ready to just quit. Maybe they already have. Maybe they've already just give up. Well, this is the kind of people that Jesus is talking to now. And remember, he never mentions words. So somewhere in the midst of this congregation of people that he's speaking to, there's some of his that are in this condition that have just been upbraided because they've been overlooking the obvious and they haven't repented as of yet. Get it. Maybe it'll all come together. The Lord is speaking to his own people on the face of this earth that are overlooking the obvious day after day after day after day, and you're being pressed down with it, and he knows, and he's obvious with it, and he's telling you, come to me. Now, is that hard? It may be harder to do than it is to understand. Especially if you think you've got it. Or you don't want anybody else to know that you've got it. He says, come to me. Again, this is not so much an invitation. It's not an invitation to life. It's instruction to live. Do you hear me? This is not Jesus issuing an invitation to life itself. This is him giving instruction as to how to live. And may I say more? To live rather than to just exist. Y'all ever wonder about that? Do you ever wonder, is it possible to live in this world and really enjoy it? Rather than this feeling like that you're existing from one day to the next. We'll wait till Jesus comes. We'll wait. Did you know that the old Baptist had those words changed in the book over that? But you know what it used to say? In the original. It used to be, we'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work. We're going to be active. We're going to be doing. We have responsibilities. We're expected to be alive and living and proving it. Oh, but no, we'd rather just wait till he comes. He says, come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden. It's not an invitation, it's instruction. I had another story I'm going to tell you this. My son John won't appreciate this, but you can tell him I told you. I guess it's coming live, he might see it. I came home from work where John was just about this high. He was about that high once. Didn't stay there long. I come in from work one evening. That was my time with the kids when they were little. I come in, sit down in my chair. He come sashaying through the living room, going somewhere. I don't know where it was. Now, back then, because it was a whole lot simpler, he didn't talk a lot because that one right there never gave him the chance. But anyway, but John called me D. That was short. Just let's cut through the chase and get right to it. D, that was for Dad. So I called him B. That was for boy. I mean, it was understandable. It was in code and we understood each other. So I sat down in the chair and he come walking through and I said, B, come here. And he stopped and looked up at me. Now, you ain't going to believe this. But he stopped and turned around and looked at me. He said, no. I beg your pardon. My invitation just got to be a command. I want you to think, because I haven't left the text. I'm illustrating. I said, come here. And I reached out to take him by the hand. Now, you sure not going to believe he could ever be like this. And I reached out to take him by the hand. I said, son, come here. And he snatched his hand back and looked at me in defiance. No! Oh, game on now, son. Well, about that time, Mom comes in the room to see what's going on. I said, you leave. Go back where you came from. Shut the door. This between me and him. Friends, I want you to know something. The lesson I'm trying to get you is between you and Jesus. Do you know that Jesus cares this much about you? Huh? Have you ever stopped and thought about the fact that Jesus desires your fellowship this much and your nose has this kind of reaction to him? I just wanted my son to come sit in the chair with me for a little bit and see how his day was. No! I picked him up and adjusted his attitude from the backside. I thought enough. Oh. I turned him around, set him up my lap. I said, now, you gonna do what I say? No. Brother John, we never would have thought this. Well, you know what happened? I yielded to his desire. No, I did not. I turned him back over my knee and I instructed him more firmly. I set him back up. Now, y'all need that interpreted. That's not Greek, but I give him a good whipping. And it wasn't through padded breeches either. Brother Harold used to tell me, and here's one of the things I learned from you. When a parent says, honey, this is going to hurt me more than it does you, you ain't doing it right. I instructed him the second time I turned him around now. Boy, I'm telling you what. I said, now you going to do what I say? No! Whew. Wow. You know what happened? Third time, it's the charm. Third time, turned him over my knee and I wore him out. Preacher, we're going to have you arrested for child abuse. You're disconfessed. It wasn't abuse. It's because I loved him. I wore his backside out. I turned him. Now, he's a little fella. Turned him around, set him up in my lap this time, and he's, I'm not exaggerating. He's sitting there with clenched teeth looking at me like this. I know his backside's burning because my hand is. I said, now listen, this can go on all day long, son, but I'm going to win. Are you going to do what I said? He threw clenched teeth. I started to see a tear. Oh, mamas are feeling sorry for him now. Oh, I can't quit now. Tear was starting to trickle down his cheek, and he threw clenched teeth in. Yes, sir. Problem solved. I pulled him from my lap up to my shoulders, hugged his neck, gave him a kiss on the cheek. I said, that's all I was asking for, son. It's when I say come, you come. You don't say no. You know, I never did have to whoop him like that again until he's on 15 years old, but you don't understand teenagers. But anyway, well, my point is the Lord is saying to people that obviously are under the weight and the struggles of circumstances that are getting the better of them, and do any of you, can I get a witness? He says, come to me, all you that are laboring and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Not offer it to you. I'll give it to you. It's here for you. But when I say come, you've got to come. And the rest is here where, the rest is where I am. Not where you are. The rest is where I am. Come to me. And I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Listen to this. You got to come, you got to take, and you're to learn. That's things you got to do. It's not rocket science, though. But it's things that's required of us in the coming. You got to come to where he's at. You got to take up this yoke that he's talking about. And you got to learn from him. Oh, boy. I need some more time, but let me try to wind up here with this. Another story. Full of them. Yeah, I know it. I told this another day. Brother Michael over here has already mentioned this to me. When I was a little kid, I was once. Been a real long time ago. When I was a little kid, probably 13, 14 years old, every once in a while in the summer, me and my younger brother got to go spend a week or so with my older brothers. And both my older brothers were mechanics. And I'd already figured out and come to the conclusion and the decision. I wasn't on the fence anymore on this. I had got off on this side of the fence that what my daddy was doing, I didn't want to do. I had an adverse reaction. I was allergic to driving nails. I didn't want to do that. I wanted to be a mechanic. When my dad bought me, that's terrible, ain't it? They say when you get old, you ramble. My dad bought me a brand new bicycle one time. You know the first thing I did with it when I got home with it? He liked to have a fit. You know what I done with it? Can you imagine? I tore it all to pieces. I mean, I didn't leave a screw in it. If it was a little old screw that held a fender, I took the fenders off. I took the wheels off. I took the pedals, the chain, everything. I gutted the thing. He come out the front door. You'd have to know my dad. He liked to went through the roof. What are you doing? It'll never work again. I was riding it that afternoon. I wanted to see how it worked. I took every piece of it apart, washed it all out, cleaned it all out, packed all the bearings, and put it all back together. And you know what? Got on and rode that thing off into the sunset, happy and free. And now I know how it works because I took it apart and put it back together. I've always been kind of that bent that way. But my older brothers were mechanics, and they used to let me go to their jobs with them when I come stay with them. They'd take me to the shops. You can't do this now. But they'd take me to the shops, to the truck shops and car shops, and let me stay with them all day. Man, I thought I was in heaven. It's wonderful. You say, you're crazy. No, it was wonderful. Because I got to do what they was doing. That's what I wanted to do. I loved it. I got to get dirty. I got to break things and then put it back together. I got to ride in all of the fast cars, all of the cars that they want the new ones to look like now that were real back then. And we got to ride in them. Got to drive some of them. Got to go ride in the trucks and work on the trucks. Hey, when I used to take Sheila back from there goes another kangaroo. When we used to take her home after a date, had to have her home by 10:30. I did. I'd take my brother's car that had his pass into the parking lot in Brian Foods, drive through the gate, go to the truck shop, and work to 4 o'clock in the morning. Because every one of them was glad to see me. Hey, comes that kid again. Hand him a wrench and he'll do your work all night long. I loved it. Didn't get too hard. Man, that's what I wanted to do. I was thrilled to death. I couldn't wait to get the opportunity to do that. How in the world did something that I loved and it was that driven for and ambitious in and enjoyed and was the joy and thrill of my life for years get to be such a drudgery and a burden and a hard thing to do to where I hated to punch? It's Monday and I'm just waiting for Friday and payday. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? Do y'all work with anybody that hates their jobs? Yeah, you do. And probably you. And you can't stand going to work, and you don't want to go to work. You know, how in the world did it ever get that away with me? I can tell you. Because somewhere along the line in life and responsibilities of doing this, along with having to go to that place that I love to do, I don't care whether they paid me or not so much back then. All of the other things that I was picking up, putting on as I was going along, cost something. More responsibility, more of this, more of that, and the weight's getting heavier and heavier and heavier, and the responsibility of doing the job that I love now is a drudgery because I'm toting all this other stuff with me. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? And friends, I have to be totally honest with you. One of the biggest things that weighed me down was when I got this notion in my head on the job that God wanted me to preach. And everything started changing. And everything was different. And everything was more limited than it was. And if I was going to serve God, then I was going to have to do this, and I was going to have to do this, and I was going to have to do this, and my time got more run out and strung out over this and that and the other, to where I was just weighted down, burdened down, and I hated going to work. I begrudged every minute of it. I ought to be at home with my nose in the Bible, and when I was at home in the Bible and reading that, I ought to be at work because I got bills to pay. And y'all got any idea what I'm talking about? Huh? You don't have to be called to be a preacher to do this. Any of you weighted down? Responsibilities and things just overrunning you, overwhelming you? You can't be satisfied anywhere with anything? Even in church. I mean, everybody thinks you're supposed to do it this way and do it this way and do it that way. What about the way God says do it? What a novel concept. The Lord says, come to me. Come over here where I'm at. Don't snatch your hand back and say no. Come over here where I'm at. Sit down here in the chair with me for just a little bit. Let's talk about your day. You'll find rest. You learn from me. Do it my way. You'll learn rest. Do y'all know that you can work and relax at the same time? Do y'all know you actually do that? Do you know some of us crazy people actually have occupations that we, our habits are, what do they call them, recreational things, that you work at harder than you do when you're on the job. But it's fun, isn't it? I asked that one there right there. It was 4 o'clock one morning. 4 below 0. Yeah. We drove up to the water. We had to break ice to get the boat in. We was going duck hunting. Game warden drove up, rolled his window down, had his heater on. I could feel the heat coming out of the car. And I was... He said, what are y'all doing? I started to be a smart aleck, but he's got a badge. I said, well, we're going duck hunting. He said, you're nuts. I said, I know. That's my son. He said, oh, y'all have fun with that. He rolled his window up and left. But I asked him, if he remembers this. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. Man, we're driving, going out there. I said, son, let me ask you a question. Would you get up this early? Would you drive this far in this kind of weather for a special meeting? If you had to drive out here where this lake was and crack the ice for a baptizing, would you be this ready to go? Would you be ready to go to church if it took this much out of you to get there? I remember his answer. I don't know if he does or not. He said, you know, I never thought about that. it do think on. Lord says, come to me. Now, what a route bound to stump I've been with y'all this morning. But the Lord says, take my yoke upon you and learn to me, and ye shall find rest unto your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden's light. Somebody told me a long time in my secular job, learn how to work smarter, not harder. You can do the same job, but there's easier ways to go about it. Let me tell you this, and I ought to have told you this in the first 5 minutes, and sit down. You can say amen. You will never, listen to me, this is the big finish. Seriously. You will never, young, old, boy, girl, young woman, young man, old woman, still, if you live to be 100, if you're in the midst of school, in your marriages, in your homes, in your parenting, in your jobs, in your classes, in your life, in whatever it is you find yourself in, you will never, never, never find balance, stability, clear vision, proper direction until you yield to the equal yoke of Jesus Christ. Until you're willing to put yours down and submit to him and yoke up under his and find the potential power that he has there for you, that when you just can't hardly make another step, you feel the you feel the weight come off. That's because he just stood up. When you're so eager and you just can't hardly wait and you're fixing to run head first in the middle of trouble, you'll feel the that's him holding back. It's because he knows. He's been there. He's done that. How about let's wear his t-shirt? I'll say it this way and I'm done. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for your good attention. You've been an easy crowd to talk to. Some of you smiled at me and make me think that you was enjoying what you was hearing. I don't know whether you was or not, but I'm serious about this. These thoughts of the morning struck me with such power that I could hear the Lord speaking to me, saying, son, come here. And the horror of horrors is I heard myself saying, no. Game on. You want the struggles, you want the troubles, you want the trials that come, that keep coming, keep saying no. When you hear him saying, come to me, come. Put yours down. Yoke up with him. Learn from him. Some of us here need to be reminded to take Jesus to work with us. Some of us maybe never have. Some of us are still trying to tote the load ourselves and say, I don't need no help. I got this. Can I encourage you today to yield, to give it up? And if you've not laid aside your weight and come to Jesus Christ, can you believe an old Baptist preacher just said that? I'm going to say it again. If you've never come to Jesus, today's your day. You need to come. If you have come and you've forgotten, been sidetracked, get up and come to him again. He's still exactly right where he always is and was. And you'll never find rest in this world until you do come to him. He's not going to lose you for heaven. Praise God. But he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Come sit down with the Lord. is glorious. Thank you for your good attention.